Blog Talk Radio.
Revelations chapter 3 says, "We serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut, and he shuts doors that no one can open. He says, behold, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I pray you have a little strength, that you have kept my word and not denied my name." I want you to kind of think about that as you go through your day today. Welcome to Biopathy. My name is Kyle Wookup. I'm the host of the show, kind of like a blog, since I have a lot of friends that are like grammar Nazis and I'm horrible at grammar. There was a friend of mine on Facebook that did a thing called Carrots from Cupcakes or Cupcakes to Carrots, and I had a couple people ask me, well, you know, what's going on with my life, and I basically decided to do these shows just to kind of explain what's going on with my life and just anything in general. And if you don't know, this is Blog Talk Radio, and so you can have your own show. And a long time ago, and I think 2009 when I got on here, I used to do stuff on, if you've ever seen History Channel's Ancient Aliens, I used to do shows based on stuff like that before that show came out. Because if you think about it, like Puma Punku in the highlands of Bolivia, those stones are made of diorite. And if you don't know much about minerals or anything, the only thing stronger than diorite is diamond. So the only way those two have been carved is with a diamond-laced tool. But some of those are so precise that it almost looks like when they have electron microscopes that the only way it could have been done is with some sort of laser. But they wouldn't have had that back then. And there's a guy recently that they moved a huge boulder to the Art Institute of Los Angeles, and he goes, what we had to do to make a contraption, a trailer bed with like 16 axles to carry this stone to this from point A to point B through Los Angeles. What it took to do that, he goes, and that would be considered a pebble compared to some of the stuff that's in these ancient ruins. So if we see how hard it was to move this, how did they move some of these big boulders? And so that's what I used to do in some of my first shows, and you know, go into that stuff. And when the Catholic Church came out and said that your belief in extraterrestrials doesn't contradict your belief in God, and I used to do shows like that, but when a couple of people asked me, what's up with you, what's going on, I see stuff on Facebook, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do shows and explain about my issue and what goes on. I basically started the show to kind of explain my issues and what's going on in my day-to-day life and how I focus. And, like, if anyone knows, you know, God didn't say, give me your healthy, your well-to-do, and your healthy. You know, and give me your poor, your hungry, your tired, your blind. And cooking is my life. That's all I really know. And I basically don't know anything else. When I was 6 years old, I was watching TBS, and I remember Furious going melon up in the air and putting this, like, saber sword on the table, and the melon got split in half by the saber. And, wow. And I'm like, I gotta learn how to do this. She split a melon in half. And I've been fascinated by food and cooking ever since. And that was one of the issues, is with my disease, I may have to get out of the kitchen someday. What would I do? Well, they asked Dale Sr. that same question. What would you do if you couldn't drive a race car? Because I'd be a race car driver. Same with me. You know, Dale Waltrip said one time, because I relate a lot of my life to motorsports, because I'm a huge motorsports fanatic, as is my muscle doctor. And Dale Waltrip goes, you can either be in the stands as a fan, or you can be in the driver's seat. That's what's always driven me, my passion. You know, you get everybody the same ingredients to make an apple pie, everyone's going to look at one of those people and go, wow, that's all neat. Wow, look, he took that distraught dough and he made like flowers and put it on top. Well, you could have done that. Why are you and lying about one pie? You all were given the same ingredients. So, and I just, I don't know anything but to keep going and keep doing. That's all I know. I mean, my dad was in the Coast Guard and he's one of the military men that, you know, didn't do it. There is no, you know, it's kind of like I was leaving because my dad's in the Model Labor Stores Club in 2009. His touring class Model A was number one Model A touring class Model A out of all of them. And that's when he doesn't do the touring class. He's the committee chairman. That's why he doesn't enter his car at the year anymore. And I was reading a thing on Henry Ford this morning, and it goes, whether you can do something or whether you can do nothing, you're right. And, you know, no matter what you do in life, you know, there's always a, I guess, I look at it like a consequence. There's always action to any reaction. And Kincaid, I forget I write him because he keeps asking me, because we're team motorsports fans, and he keeps asking me about going to the MotoGP in Indianapolis. And I'm like, okay. And, but I think it's the last couple of years been the same weekend as the race in the Irish Hills in Michigan, so I can never go. And he is my Patch Adams. Because if you ever know anything about Patch Adams, look up the guy on YouTube, and he is incredible. You know, he works at a hospital, and all that money goes to pay and help run the, in front of the Zinghai Institute. And I've always believed like he did. You know, you can treat cancer, and eventually, like the song by Mandisa Overcomer, they're death cheaters. You're eventually going to die. I'm sorry, but you're eventually going to die. You know, you can treat cancer to the point until you lose the battle. But if you treat the person, you're going to win no matter what happens. And Colonel Wade Shaker was a good friend of mine, and he kind of put it best because I used to try to collect certain things, and he's like, well, you can always take memories with you to heaven, but you can't take personal things. And like when I went to this concert with my friend Tandy Stoltz, I have memories. I'm like, you want $40 for a shirt? Well, I can take my memories with me. And I, you know, getting an autograph of a race car driver to me is something that it's more about meeting the person than me. I could meet the person. Who cares if I get the autograph? Just getting to talk to them and say, hey, how you doing? But my passion drives me for one thing, because when I went to Kincaid, I'm like, well, can I get help? Is there a support group? I'm about ready to lose it. Something I've never really told people. Some people know, but, you know, when I was diagnosed with this, people that, whatever, you're just lazy, you just don't do, you just don't, you know, you just need to get off your butt and go and do. You know, you just, I got a pedometer. And I'm like, okay. I'm walking 5 to 7.5 miles every day on this thing. And when you have nobody in support of you and saying, hey, you know, there's got to be something wrong. And a good friend of mine from high school, Karen Garrett, I remember getting an x-ray from her. And she goes, pray for the best, expect the worst. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, something's wrong with you. They just don't know what. There's definitely, this is not making this up. There's something, they know something wrong with you. They just don't know what it is. And I was at the end of my rope. You know, I was about ready to say bye-bye, end it all. You know, if you ever saw the movie, if you ever saw the song, I Need a Miracle by Third Day, that was the thing to me. About ready to end it all. And one night I was watching an infomercial, and I'm like, okay, because my dad was a put-up-or-shut-up kind of guy. Do it. You know, if you're not going to buy it, don't touch it. And I watched it, and like, by like the fourth time I saw this, the fifth time, I was like, okay, same kind of people, but the show's different. There's got to be something to this, and like, I don't get to, okay, I'm going to feed the truck. Whatever this is, I'm going to do it. I'm about ready to, nothing's going right in my life, you know. And I called up, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm Jason, thanks for calling the 700 Club. How can I help you today? And I said, what is it? He goes, oh, it's 65 cents a day, $20 a month. You're going to help so many people and all this. And he's probably cared for me more than anyone I have ever known. And he didn't know me. I was a complete stranger. And I wanted to know why he cared for me, why he loved me, why he wanted to give a crap about someone calling at 11:30 at night. And give you an information pack on this. Yeah, we got a video called The First One. It's about how we came to America and what America is truly about. And it's founded on religion and all this. And I'm like, you know, just take the Bible out, flip it open, put your finger on the page, and just start reading it. Changed my life. You know, my sister, Lisa, is actually watching from a friend's house, I guess, because their computer's in the shop, and she... I met her through the support group, and she changed my life. I mean, she truly changed my life. I mean, God puts people in your life for a reason. And she means the world to me. And then my doctor said, well, I don't know what kind of support group to put you in because, you know, you don't really have this, you don't have that. And I'm like, well, when Jesus was on earth, he didn't say, okay, well, I want you. He wasn't on the... He wasn't giving a sermon on Mount Sinai saying, okay, I want the Baptists over here. I want the Catholics here and the Protestants. No. We need to come together with what we have in common, not what we don't have in common. And I'm like, well, I'm going to start my own support group. Excuse me. And what do we have in common? Well, we almost all have a myopathy. And we can't. Basically, that's about as far as we know. Like Kincaid says, he goes, if I know 100% definitely what you have, you'll be the second one to know. Besides that, I have a a metabolic type muscular myopathy. Besides that, you know, that's all we know. And I'm like, okay. It's a private group, so I talk about the group in general, but anything you say in there, you know, I do it that way so that you know that only people that understand what you're going through can actually see what you write. And if you want to cry, if you want to laugh, if you want to vent, you're going to be around people who understand what you're going through. Imagine being 12 years old and having a house decorated, having crowns for the boys and tears for the girls and having princess backdrops and having crepe paper everywhere and helium balloons everywhere and a huge princess taking all this, not wanting to get out of bed. That's how some of us are some days. I can do anything. I can run. Like, I can, me and Lisa can go for a run, but I just know that I couldn't go as far, and the next day, I probably wouldn't even want to get out of bed. And I've experienced that firsthand. When I went to Paris and before I started using the trains, my legs were burning so bad, and I knew something was really wrong before I got diagnosed, way before I got diagnosed. That's when I went there in 2007 to the Rugby World Cups. Greatest time of my life. Plus, I got to see Scott and Anna Needham, good friends of mine, and had dinner with them, and so it was a lot of fun. And the support group, I just like, I try to do stuff on my own. I try to be my own, you know. I don't believe there's a can't. You know, without all things are possible. So don't tell me I can't do this. There's no support group to put me in, because I'll find, I guess, like a lot of people go non-denominational. I understand, because, you know, God told us to come together as a people of God, as a family of God, not necessarily, you know, as a division. I don't like when people, oh, well, you're not going to heaven because you don't believe this, you don't believe that, or whatever, you know. Why can't we come together with what we believe? I mean, that's why when I started demography here, I'm like, if you have demography, come in here. We're all kind of in the same boat. And I got like 40 plus people. I'm going to say how many I have, or I just try to keep a lot of it private, but, you know. And from what my doctors tell me is they don't, I haven't progressed worse. Basically, what's probably going to happen is I'll get adjusted to medications and then I'll need stronger medications. And and basically what happens is I'm not necessarily getting worse, but my body's getting adjusted to stuff I use to help me move, so I take stronger shots. And then that's why I'm a huge supporter. And I don't know if they can do this in Vermont now or not, but I know this year in Colorado, they're harvesting the first crop of hemp in the longest time. And when I lived in Vermont, you could grow hemp legally. They have laws, but because it's still federally illegal, because it's linked with cannabis, they never did. And it's just amazing, because like my last show, I did a lot of it on medical cannabis, because I read Treating Yourself, the Alternative Medicine Journal, and it does have negative, but also it's positive about cannabis. And, you know, we need to grow up. But then again, like I tell people, you know, the tobacco industry took profit over people. What would stop a pharmacy and a pharmaceutical company from doing the same thing? What would they want to cure for diabetes? Like I would say, you know, they make so much money off of insulin and syringes and needles and pumps and machines and test strips. They make too much money. It's too profitable to ever say, okay, we're going to find a cure for that one. Not that there's a cure for everything, but, and I know I harp on it a lot, but, you know, I always get the my friend's vision in my head every time I think of cannabis, and she was, when I was showing her the book by Irving Rosenfeld, My Medicine, how I convinced the U.S. government to provide my marijuana and help launch a national movement. And she started looking, and she goes, that's a prescription. Like, at this whole point, since 1983, Irving Rosenfeld and five others that they know of, there might be more, got onto a secret government program, and they've been getting tins full of marijuana cigarettes rolled by the government, paid for by your taxes. But if I was to use it, I'd go in jail. Not that he hasn't been in jail. He's gone into jail, and then he's had to call the numbers or whatever and the protocol, and then they have people that call wherever he is and say, yeah, he's legitimate, this is real, yada, 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 and they have to release him. But check the book out. It's a great book. I highly suggest you buy it. I got it signed, and so he's a great man, and he's very successful. And, you know, and it's like the one lady, all you want to do is get high. I'm like, well, how am I going to function? How am I going to function if all I want to do is get high? No, I want to be normal like everyone else. I just want to have more than 2 days or 3 days a month where I don't feel like crap. I want to have, you know, 4 or 5 days that I don't feel like crap, or 6 days. Just because I feel like crap doesn't mean, I mean, there's tons of places where there's corners that I can go crawl into and cry. But you, why? What's it going to get you? You know? And that's what moves me. That's what motivates me. I mean, I don't know what I'd do if I had to get out of the kitchen. I could never tell anyone. I'd be a chef. I'd be a cook. I'd cook and do something in the kitchen. But it's just amazing how far we've come in the last 100, 200 years. Like going back to the ancient alien type thing, we went through years with very little progress, and now within like 100 years, you have iPhones, you have computers, you have penicillin, you've been to the moon. And it's just amazing. And where do we get that technology to make that big leap? And I'm just like, I get speechless. Where did that come from? How could we, we have gone, if you look at history, in the last 150 years, we've gone farther than they had in probably 2,000 years. It's just, I talked about this in some of my other episodes, but I know you can listen to all my stuff archived, so if you get on this, you can actually find my archive shows. My three, pick them up, me Dan explained, and then the rest are my myopathies. And, you know, and I talked about, you know, I was diagnosed through a blood test and a muscle biopsy, which I want no one to go through. But it's just something that even how accurate a blood test is, for the longest time I had no support. You know, it's just, you just need to get off your butt, you're lazy, you don't do anything. And I finally went to my dad, because my dad and my dad had a huge fight once. I said, well, you know, the apple won't far fall from the tree, so if you get up at 6 in the morning and work till midnight, 7 days a week, I come from those genes. Think about it. You know, I have the mindset of someone that wants to go 100 miles an hour and jog and run, but my body won't do it. That's kind of how I look at life. You know, my body says one thing and my mind says another. And that's why I love this alternative medicine journal, because I get my pain management clinic. I am one of the only people that goes 6 months out on the med still, because I haven't increase my meds in forever. And thanks to the Z-Coil footwear that I use, they help a bunch. And if you're ever chronic of anything, whether it's pain or headaches or whatever, it'll try anything. It don't matter. And that's what I said, well, I'm not trying to get more. I'm trying to stay in the smallest dose I can. So, and that's what gets me, you know, because I guess everyone there, they have issues with the test, or they have too much in their system or not enough in their system when they get tested, and I'm perfect right on. And it's like, you know, but why can't I use everything? Why can't I try this? You know, it doesn't mean I'm going to have to stop taking my meds. I may be able to take them down even further. So, and everything I think happens for a reason. I don't think there's no I believe in a coin. I believe things happen. I don't believe there's just like a, that just kind of random move. Not. You know, Lisa is in my life for a reason. And I think I'm in her life for a reason. I mean, her and Don, I just look up at the sky and thank them every day. Without them, would I even be talking to you today? If it wasn't for the 700 Club, would I even be talking? Would I even be here to do this show? I just don't think so. And I try to get some of that out of my life. I don't. You need to get another doctor. Okay. Blood tests are pretty accurate. We're not talking an MRI where one doctor says this black dot small and doesn't mean anything. When another guy says, well, of course that black dot doesn't mean anything. Well, this blue dot here is something you need to be worried about. And the other doctor says, well, that blue dot could be 10 times the size, and it still doesn't mean anything. Well, he was right. The doctor that says that blue dot means nothing, or the one that says it means something. And you have a blood test, and it says, okay, well, you're missing creatine. Okay. Pretty definitive. But when you have people that didn't understand, and, oh, you need to find someone else. Nah. I mean, when they've done tests to confirm it, since, okay, you know, it's not one test that said, yeah, this is what's wrong. You know, I even have some of my muscle tissue frozen, and I think it's at Wyndham Hospital, just in case they ever come out with new or better testing, they can test them a bit. That way, hopefully, they don't have to cut me open a second time, because They can numb the skin, but the rest of it they can't numb because it'll screw up with the muscle reading. And when they strap you down, and I wish that on my worst enemy. But I'm having a good week this week, actually. I'm getting one of the guys back in the kitchen that had knee issues, so we're starting to get our kitchen full staff again so we can keep going instead of trying to do double the work with half the people. And at least in the kitchen, that's really all I know, when you lose one person, that's almost like one. It'd be like having an office. And, okay, when you get rid of this person, well, there goes accounting. There goes accounting, because that's all she does. But now you have to do your job on top of helping do accounting. So, you know, it's just nice to have the guy back, and makes it easier in my life, because then I'm not running around twice as fast and then coming home and then being dead exhausted, not wanting to do anything. So, I got about 3 minutes left in my half an hour show, and it's just one of those things I actually got a question from my therapist, and she actually asked it. She says, what actual diagnosis of the specific myopathy do you have? Basically, I can't mention any names, but in the support group, a lot of people are like me. We have diagnosis of myopathy. I have a metabolic type muscular myopathy, and what that basically means is everyone has a gas station in the body. I've said this kind of on my other show. And when you run, your body says, okay, I need amino acids, I need creatine, I need all these enzymes and amino acids. My body doesn't produce a lot of that. And that's why I get, sort of like if you weightlift, and when you're done weightlifting, you're sore, and you're, oh, I'm sore. I weightlifted too much yesterday. Well, I feel that personally every day because my body doesn't produce what it needs to. So me, that's the support group, basically, is one of those that support group is one of those things that basically we all kind of have that in common, where we know we have a myopathy, but specifically, what do we have down to the specific, they can't determine that yet. So, because if that was the case, then we can further diagnose it. So, basically got like a minute left, and I mean, some of the support group people actually lift me up. I mean, I don't look at myself as anything special. I really don't. I mean, God. There was one quote, I think, in the Bible where it talks about that if he saw Jesus, he would not stand out in the crowd. And he was ordinary. He wasn't like special. He wasn't special. And that's how I look at myself. I just do what I do. You know, like Jerry Garcia said one time, he goes, here's what we do. We play this music, and this happens. You don't know why it happens, you know. I just do what I do. I mean, like for Rebecca's birthday, it was the weekend of Colonel Schaefer's funeral. I was past her birthday, but what the heck? I decorated her office for her. I was blessed. And then a couple people from work at like 11 o'clock, like, what are you doing? I'm like, it was her birthday, but because of Colonel Schaefer's, you know, she had a crappy birthday, so I'm trying to make her day. And this is so cool. And I had like two teenagers help me, you know. And I just don't want to ever be treated the way people treated me. When you just need to find another doctor. There's nothing wrong with you, you know. You know, when Lisa and Don came into my life, they didn't question me. They didn't say, okay, well, what's wrong? You know, oh, well, sorry, whatever. You know, they just opened my heart. And I got to go, so I want to thank you all for listening. God bless you all, and you have a great day.